Amen.
Yes, sir. And long as I live, while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Amen. Amen. It's a great thing to celebrate the Lord and worship him in song. Amen. But it's an even greater thing to, as the Bible says, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So we do thank God for each of your presence. We have a few copies of our lesson here today in case you, hopefully you have one. And we have been, for those of you who are visiting, and once again we welcome you to St. Timothy. Somebody said we were the new St. Timothy. We picked that up from somewhere. I don't know where that came from, but amen. But we have heard it and we receive that. Amen.
Amen.
But we thank the good Lord for a new, fresh anointing. Amen. It's always a good thing to be blessed again. God continues to refresh the blessing that he gives us again and again. In case you don't have a copy, we do have a few here. If you need one, you can just raise your hand and some of the deacons will make sure you have a copy, if you like, of the lesson we're going to study here this morning. Amen. I am blessed to be able to take a stand. Just want to say a few things. We're looking for some other people to work in leadership. One thing I want to mention for the men's ministry. I don't know if anybody feels motivated to do that. But if you do, we'd like to have you acknowledge that you would like to be a part of that. And we're making preparations for that coming event in September. We want to kind of have somewhat of a coming out of St. Timothy into the neighborhood, just to refresh and remind people that we're here.
Yes.
And also to interact with the neighborhood. And so we're looking for some help in working with that effort. And I think some people have said that they would work on that and would like to chair that event. And so if you do, we want to get with you, support you, get around you, help you, pray for you, do everything we can to help you succeed at whatever you do as a joint effort for what we are doing corporately as a church. We like volunteers in the men's ministry. Some people are already working in some of these things. We want to just get some help for them, and we're looking to just help you every way we can and support you in prayer. I want to ask that the church would keep in solemn prayer the event coming up tomorrow, that funeral for Michael Brown. I think that's something where if the church takes advantage of the number of people and the influence that the media has there to present the gospel, it would be a wonderful thing. And we pray many people would be saved. We know a lot of people surrounding that. There's a lot of emotions and things running rampant on that whole thing. So what we can do is pray.
Amen.
And that's not a small thing.
Amen.
I want to say that. That's a big thing.
Amen.
You know, and everything that went on, prayer is the biggest and the best thing we can do, because no matter what happened in that whole scenario, God knows all about it.
Oh, yes, he
and he will prevail with his will. His will be done in spite of what people say. You might look at it and think it didn't go how I think it went. Should have went. But God will fix it. I guarantee you, however it turns out, he will fix it. He's on the throne. So we want to pray for those families. The thing that breaks my heart the most on that, and I've said this to some of you, but I want to say it to the rest, is I think about the Michael Brown's mom and dad.
Yes.
You know, all the rest of the issues and all that around that, subtract all that out of your mind. Think about a mother and a father who lost their child.
Yeah.
Whatever's up with it, and I know they're broken and torn apart by all the other associated things that are going on surrounding that whole thing. And you and I, the best thing we can do is pray.
Amen.
And that's not a small thing. It's not a last resort. It ought to be the Christian's first resort.
Amen.
In everything. The Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen.
And the peace of God, that's what you get in exchange.
Oh, yes.
The peace of God that passeth all understanding will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul told the Philippians. He wrote that from a prison cell. Have you thought of it?
That's right. Yes,
so who should have been in distress? Maybe I should be be worried about how can I get my can out of this prison. He wasn't worried about that. You know why? Because he knows who sits on the throne.
Amen.
And I'm writing to the church to edify you, to build you up.
Amen.
See, and that can happen from anywhere. No matter what you're going through, God is there. He's with you. We can see the strength of it in the things that Paul wrote. And on that note, we're going to move right along here. I just wanted to say that because I just felt that it needed to be said. And I want to talk about today where we've been teaching through the book of Romans for those of you who are visiting us. And we have arrived at the latter part of chapter 10 in our study, and we have been going right through the entire book. And so we like to do this because the Lord said to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we are diligent to try to make sure we present every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Jesus said man should not live by bread alone.
That's right.
But by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I have to diligently pursue feeding you every word.
Amen.
And I can't do that by popping here and there and going all around. I've got to have a systematic way that I deliver that to you. Amen. And if you're here, this is the good news. If you are here, you will receive it. You don't have to necessarily be here. We're trying to put it out where everybody in the world can receive it.
Amen.
We put it online, and we're trying to put it everywhere so that whoever cares can receive it.
Amen.
But we like you to be here because I like to see your face.
Amen.
On Sunday morning. I like to be able to pray a blessing over you.
Amen.
And speak into your life.
Amen.
Directly. You know, there's something about being in the atmosphere when God is ministering through his word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very special thing. And so that's why I like you to be here. And basically you support me. I need support too.
Amen.
The preacher doesn't do this in a vacuum. He needs support. He could use your prayers and all of that. But as we pursue this, this has brought us to the latter part of chapter 10. And we'll be completing chapter 10 if the Lord spares here this morning. And if you pray along with me, because there's some things that we need to understand. And as we continue our discoveries in Paul's epistle to the Romans, we have been examining how the church, who are God's called out spiritual family. You ever think of yourself that way?
Yes.
That you are the called out spiritual family of God.
Amen.
God refers to us as sons and daughters.
Yes, he does.
He refers to us as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He refers to us as the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
So these are all family connections, and God uses those to talk about our relationship with him.
Yes. Amen.
So we've been called out to be in God's spiritual family out of all of the world. And so that's a very special and high and holy calling. And out of all the people on earth, he called us to interact with not only the rebellious people who out flat outright deny the truth and the existence of God. You got a lot of them in the world who say there is no God, all kinds of things of that sort. You got people saying something else is God.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who they are, God has called us out to speak to all those rebellious ones in all the world. But even more importantly, perhaps, is how about the Jews?
All right.
They are the people that God called out originally through the patriarchal succession which God promised. That would be through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them all the covenants.
Amen.
There are no covenants that were not given to the Jews.
Right.
At all. Even the new covenant was given to the Jews.
Yeah.
You see? All the covenants in the Bible, they say there are seven covenants. They were all given to the Jews. Because they were the stewards of God's word. They were his spiritual family at the time when he
Amen.
Caused them to exist.
Amen.
God told them they would succeed, that they will continue even until the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them all the promises and the covenants.
Yes.
And the word of God. That's what our next item says here. Even not only was it the patriarchal succession, that would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the descendants of Jacob who were called Israel, gave them all the covenants, every one that there is, including the new covenant. They also received the law by Moses and the prophets. That would be the Old Testament, we would say. Okay, and that would be whoever, from Joshua to Malachi, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, and especially the Messiah. This is the greatest thing that God delivered to us through
Amen.
That succession of people is Jesus Christ, his son, came out of the Jews.
Amen.
So it's very important that we understand as the current spiritual family of God, how do we deal with the previous spiritual family of God?
Amen.
In addition, how do we deal with the whole world that rejects God altogether or says there's something else or someone else is God? That's where we are. And Paul is endeavoring here in Romans chapters 9 10 and 11 to explain that.
Yes.
And so that's why we took our time to work our way through it. You and I need to know that.
Oh, yes, we do.
For only people who are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, can understand and receive any of that. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we are, for lack of a better word, I say we have anonymity. The world is innocuous. That's another big gigantic word. In other words, they don't know who we are because they don't know. They just don't know. They're spiritually blind. They do not know they need a Savior. They do not know God has sent a Savior.
Yes.
They do not know how, I hate to use the word easy, but I want to say the gospel is God's simplicity to tell people what they need to do to be right with Him.
Amen.
And God did it all. So all we get to do, we're like newsboys on the paper. Extra, extra. Read all about it. We got some news for you. And once they get the news that God loves you just like you are, you know what people think? Oh, you know, either they think that they're all right with God and they're under the illusion that God should be happy with me. Because look at me. I had one guy at work tell me, well, I donate $500 every year to the Little Sisters of the Poor. I said, oh, okay, wow. You know. And he thought that was something magnanimous. I said, okay, I don't decry you blessing them. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think God is happy with you entirely because of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it opened up a door of conversation. What he needs to know is that no matter what you do, good works will never make you right with God. You can work your fingers to the bone, you'll never be right with God. The reason why God is absolutely holy, He's perfect, He's without a spot, He's without a blemish, and He requires perfection. So the only way you can have it, He has to give it to you.
Amen.
That's the good news of the gospel. You must receive it as a free gift.
Yes.
You and I, as we looked at a Sunday school lesson, and I don't want to hash that up too much, but it said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God has deposited the knowledge of the truth in broken clay pots like this one, and I'm a cracked pot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're telling the truth about yourself, you know you are too. You know. Say, oh, they got a crackpot minister over there. Yes, they do. But I'm in good company. But God will fill that pot so much that when it leaks out, He'll fill it again, and it'll leak out, and He'll fill it again, and He keeps on filling it again and again and again. Otherwise, we wouldn't even continue to walk with the Lord. So the work is His. The good news, and most people don't know this. This is not common knowledge to you, church folk. You know, because you understand that God gave His Son to be crucified. That God, Jesus Christ, is the focal point of God's wrath. He poured it out on Him entirely because He didn't want to pour it on me. You know why? Because I couldn't handle it. What He would have to do with me if He gave me what I deserve is throw me in hell. And so people don't like that. That somehow is an offense to people to think that I don't have anything to make myself right with God. But that's the truth.
Amen.
You know, and Jesus said the truth will make you free. So you and I, and it's not bad news, because we don't stop there. You know, we tell them that God made a way for you, and that's what the cross is about.
Yes.
There really isn't anyone who can say they don't or never have heard or understood anything about Jesus Christ, because God made Him the most famous person on earth.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Time right now, 2014, is because Jesus Christ was born 2014 years ago. Don't tell me you can't understand that credential. How do you think we got to where we are?
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't even taken my text, so give me a minute here. I'm getting there. I want you to see that people know they have information that you can tell them. How did that calendar get like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is time not centered on Buddha or any of those folks who say they're God?
Yes.
Make them think. And they have to agree, because it's true. God set it in the calendar. You can't deny it.
That's right.
It's like that around the globe, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
And God did that. I can't look at a telephone pole without seeing the Christ.
All right.
The cross, I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see a cross, I think about what God did for me.
Yeah.
Of any sort. It's in my mind, but we need to get it in other people's mind. They need to understand God loves you. That's why He allowed Jesus to be crucified.
Amen.
And you know about the crucifixion, but you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand why. Why was Jesus crucified?
Mm-hmm.
He was crucified because otherwise God would have to give me what I deserve. He didn't want to do that, so He decided He'd take the load Himself. He would take the blast of His own wrath Himself. He would put it up on Himself in His Son, in His body on the tree, and allow Him to bear my iniquity, so He didn't have to give me the judgment that I deserve. That's the simple truth. And then after He laid Him in the grave 3 days and nights, very simple message, He got up out of the grave. How did that happen? Because He didn't owe God anything.
That's
He was perfect.
Amen.
Death couldn't keep him in the grave.
That's right.
And the next question you can ask is, how many people you know who died got out the grave?
Uh-huh.
When you go to their funeral, you don't see them anymore. That's the sad reality of this life.
Right.
But Jesus went in that grave, and grave said, death said, let me get you. But there was nothing for him to grab.
Right.
Because there was no sin in him at all.
Amen.
So with the resurrection, when he got out of the grave, that proved that he had defeated death.
Yes.
And so you and I get to deliver that. That's a simple message. If you trust God and believe that he raised the Son from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. You know, you can't work your way to God. You can't pray your way to God. There's nothing you can do to get to God except believe on him whom he has sent. And so Paul is now talking about that. That message came to the Jews, and we look back in a few chapters back. It said it was a stumbling block. Behold, I lay in Zion a precious cornerstone. He's precious to the ones who believe in him. He becomes the cornerstone of your life.
Amen.
And you begin to build your life on him.
Amen.
But if you don't accept him, he's a stumbling block and a rock of offense.
Yeah, right.
So you either stumble over him or you build on him.
Amen.
You see? And that's the truth of the word.
Amen.
So what about the covenant people now? And Paul is still trying to explain. He knows this first of all right well, because he hated Christ.
Yes.
He hated the church.
Yes.
And then God turned him around 180 degrees on the Damascus Road.
Amen.
And so now he's writing, and he wants to explain why the covenant people rejected the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Little did they know, it was all written down in gross detail in the Bible.
Yes, it was.
Let's look at a few texts before we move along here, and then we'll take our lesson here today. But I just had to say that, because we have to understand that it's crucial that you and I, who are the church, the present day, called our spiritual family of God, we have to understand this.
Yes. Amen.
And you need to know people you're dealing with don't understand it.
Right.
You know, they may not understand, or they might have partially heard it, but they didn't get a grip on how do I apply this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like people to know. How can you apply the cross and what Jesus Christ did to you?
Yes.
And why should you do it? Because it's the only way you can be saved. It's crucial. It's critical. I don't have time to tell you how to get a chateau on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God wants you to have one, he's going to give you one.
Uh-huh.
It's okay to get one. He'll fix it up. He'll hook it up for you. But I'm not trying to tell you how to get it. I'm going to tell you who can fix you up. So if he wants you to get it, you'll have it.
Uh-huh.
You know what? You may already have one. And you think, oh, I got this, so I must be all right. No, you need Christ.
Amen.
Well, if what you have, when you go, it's going to still be there,
amen,
and you're going to move on in the judgment.
Amen.
So you don't have time to say, oh, look what all I have. Sometimes riches are a stumbling block,
amen,
to people. They go, oh, well, what do you mean God is not, I'm not in God. Look at what I got. And it doesn't work that way.
Yes.
You can have cattle on 1,000 hills, for lack of a better term. You can have stuff stacked up all the way to heaven.
Yes.
And you will not get in unless you have Christ.
That's right. Amen.
You go to your grave, everything you have will be left. That's why he said to that rich fool, he said, you fool, don't you know this night your very soul is required of you?
Right.
He has stacked up stuff and said, oh, you know, I got so much, let me tear down my barns and build bigger barns.
Right.
So I can stack some more up. I don't have enough. And he said, you fool, don't you know this very night your soul will be required of
yes,
you?
Yes.
You know, so you can stack it up. And Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal.
Yes.
You know, you can stack it up, but you can't take it with you. If you're going to stack it in heaven.
Amen.
How do you do that? We're going to talk about that. That's what this message is about today. I'm going to talk to you today about teaming up with Christ. And we're going to go ahead and read the text. I let the cat out the bag and told you already ahead of time what we're talking about. But let us read just a few verses. I'd like to have a nice strong reader stand for us and read from the Old Covenant, Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. And then we'd like to have someone read with a nice, good, strong voice, Romans chapter 10, verses 16 to 21. And these will be the texts we'll discuss in our minutes together here this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Don't all get up at once. Sorry, go ahead. Okay.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. The blessed word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearing of his holy word. Now, a New Testament reader, please stand and read Romans 10, 16 to 21. Brother Dr. Adams will read for us.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yet verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. Mm-hmm. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and vain thing to you.
Amen, amen. The New Testament scripture, the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, we praise you and bless you. We exalt you today, God. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for every person here in the sanctuary, Lord.
Yes.
And we ask that you bless every ear right now, God, that it would fall. This word that has went forth would be sown in the good soil, that it will produce fruit in our lives, even 100-fold. You said it could be 30, 60, or 100.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask you for the 100-fold blessing today. Fill us, oh God. Fill our minds and our hearts, oh God. We ask for the best because we know you are the best.
Oh, yes, you are.
And you gave your best in order to save us.
Amen.
And so, Father, bless in the sanctuary today. Let every mind and heart receive this word on good soil.
Yes, Lord.
That it would just manifest in their lives God's salvation and all the byproducts thereof.
Yes.
We thank you today, God. We ask
thank
you clear
Lord.
The air, oh God, that we cast out every evil spirit, Lord, that would come and try to stop this word from going forth.
Yes.
We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power in the sanctuary in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to talk just a few minutes here today to provoke your thoughts with the topic of teaming up with Christ.
Amen.
So the whole existence of the church has to do with whose side are you on?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Simply put.
That's it.
Now, Matthew chapter 12 and 30, y'all know that's one of my favorite verses. I had to stop saying that. And I say that about every verse, I confess. I love them all. But Matthew 12 and 30 says that he who is not with me is against me.
That's right.
And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad.
Yeah.
So you're either with me or you're against me. Jesus said you're in one of two camps. We mentioned that in our midweek Bible study.
Yes.
But what Paul is doing here is he's going through to show you that from the old covenant, which was the only scripture that was around. Did you realize that? This is something I have to wake Christians up to. We think the Bible has always just been like it is. Because we've been blessed our life every second we've been in the world to have the entire word of God, the whole covenant. Counsel of God in one spot, in one book. That's such a blessing you just don't know. If you really thought about it, you would be thanking God just for giving you his whole word.
Yes.
You know, and he even sealed it with a curse and said, you shall not add to this word, or I'll add the plagues that are written in this book to you. If you subtract anything, I'll subtract your name from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. He sealed it with a curse, Revelation 22. And so we have the whole thing. But when Paul writes this, the Bible in its entirety would have been the book of the law. That would have been the first five books from Moses, and it would have been the prophets, which would have taken you through from all the way to Malachi, and the holy writings, which would have been things like Proverbs, Psalms, Esther, the book of Esther, things of that sort, the major and the minor prophets. So all they had was the Old Testament. So now Paul is trying to convince the readers in the Romans, of course, Rome would have been at that time like America is today. Rome was the seat of power in the world. It had been, in other words, the highest government in the world was the Roman government. And so now Paul is writing to Rome. That's why his appeal was to Caesar. I have to go to Caesar. It's like taking his argument to the highest court, to the Supreme Court. We would consider that today, that he was going to see Caesar about the fact that he had been accused of insurrection against the Jews, and it had made it to the level in government to be at the Supreme Court level. But Paul is writing a letter before he gets there. And that's what this Roman epistle is. It would be like somebody writing Obama today, if you will, because he's in the highest office in the highest land in the world.
Amen.
You see, so I just do that to help your mindset to see what kind of background it was. Now, he refers to people in the finished Bible at that time, which was the Old Testament, starting here with Isaiah. He says in Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, when you see that, one thing I want you to see about that I want to help you understand this morning is that God's message of salvation has always been gospel.
All right. Amen.
Did you hear that? It's always been. What does gospel mean? Good news. It's good news that God didn't just tell Adam, hey, y'all gonna be like that? Snuff you out, buddy. Bye. See ya. But he didn't do that, did he? You know what he did? They went and covered themselves. Boy, we got to get covered here. We're naked. Oh, I got to grab some fig leaves now and go hide from God. He was my friend. Now he's my enemy. But God didn't change. You know what God did? He went and found him. He said, Adam, where are you now? Where you at? He knew where he was, but he was just right doing it for the purpose of having it in the Word. Where are you, Adam? Where you at now? Where did you fall to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like you would do your kid. What you hiding under there for? I see your feet sticking out. What you doing? What have you done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact is, God said that's insufficient the way you covered yourself.
Yes.
It requires death. You remember I told you when you mess with that tree, death is coming in.
That's right.
You know what he did? He killed something so they could understand what death was. Nothing had ever died.
Mm-hmm.
But he killed an animal and covered them with the bloody skins.
Mm-hmm.
He showed them the same thing you were preaching this morning. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The wages for sin is death.
Yeah.
Same thing. Covered them with bloody skins mean I forgive you and I'm going to cover you. I'm making a way for you. So that was gospel.
Yes. Amen.
You're not getting a death. This thing here died for you.
Right.
Substitution was being taught.
Yes.
Right. In the garden, Genesis 3:21.
Amen.
So God has only had one gospel and it started when sin started.
That's right.
And it was never completed until his own son took up a body of flesh and was crucified on the tree. But I will tell you, I want to challenge you to do this. Take the book of Isaiah alone and you will find that in any book you take, I don't care what you take, he goes from Moses here in our text all the way to Isaiah. Notice this, let's just scan this, then we'll back up to the Old Testament. Verse 16, Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That means they've been having gospel. God's been telling them how to be saved all the time, but they didn't obey. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? That came out of Isaiah 53 that we just read. After all those chapters, when Isaiah was called in chapter 6, all the way to 53, he's almost done with the book. He's been through four kings. Uzziah, Ahaz, Jotham, and Hezekiah have risen and fallen just about by that time. Four kings. Now for you, how do you understand that? How many kings have there been in your life in America? You know, I was born, I remember Kennedy being in office when I was a kid in grade school. He came over the loudspeaker, he was just assassinated and everything stopped. When I was in grade school, y'all said, boy, you an old dude, ain't you? Some of these young folk, they, well, look at this old head here. You know, they read about Kennedy in the history book. And say, you said you was there. Oh, my God. You know, I was in school even. You know, but in either case, Kennedy, count those administrations all the way from there to Obama. That's how many have risen and fallen in my lifetime. Isaiah writes, if you look at chapter 1 in the book of Isaiah, and I just want to just share this with you because this is the stuff I thought about when I was looking at this lesson. Isaiah says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. When you get to chapter 6 in Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is the end of his administration, I saw the Lord, also saw the Lord, up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So here it is. Now he goes up to the worship, to the service after Uzziah has died. And so by the time you get to 53, you find all these other kings that are mentioned here have risen and fallen. Hezekiah basically had been the last one in the reign of the time of the prophecy of Isaiah. And then you get to 53 and you have these words. This is just a quick summary. Who has believed our report? Been preaching all these years.
Yes.
From Uzziah through four more kings to your people, Jerusalem and Judah.
Yes.
Who believed me? Look how these people are. They're warped, they're twisted, they're fallen, they're sinful, they're worshiping idols, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Who has believed our report, Lord? Remember, Isaiah was called in 6, he said, woe is me, for I'm undone.
Yes.
I'm a man of unclean lips.
Uh-huh.
He began to confess his sin when he saw the righteous God exalted on the throne. He was worried about the earthly king, and he saw the heavenly king, high and lifted up.
Yes.
His train filled the temple. He said, woe is me. I was trying to get over Uzziah, now I got to get over this king, who is so righteous and so holy, that I'm coming undone here. And then he said, then I also heard the voice of the Lord say, who shall I see and who will go for us? First, he sends a seraphim to get a hot coal, a live coal from the altar, and touched his mouth. He said, this has touched your lips, your iniquity has been forgiven, and your sin is purged.
Yes.
Then he said, then I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah was commissioned to go to these people and tell them the good news. But many of them did not hear it, and that's what Paul is talking about here when he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing.
Yes, it does.
And hearing by the word of God. You and I, the most important thing we can do is share the word of God with people. When they hear the word, it's going to quicken them and make them alive. Make them see what their deficit is and that God has made a way for them. Fill them with faith. Where our message was delivering faith by preaching. That's how we do it. We preach the good news, and God gives faith to those who hear it. You see? And so here, he says, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? That's what Isaiah was probably saying. Lord, didn't they hear me all these years? The church ought to be saying now, didn't they hear us?
Yes.
That God has a free gift of salvation.
Amen.
That he gives to ungodly sinners who
yes.
trust in him and believe in him, trust in his provision. He gives it free. They don't have to work for it.
Yes.
They don't have to earn it. They don't deserve it.
Amen.
And he loves you, and he's going to take you anyway, right now. No matter what you're doing, I will accept you today.
Yes.
I will cleanse you today. I will give you perfect holiness today. I will give you perfect righteousness right
yes.
now. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But I'm ready to give it to you if you trust in my son. That's our message. He says, yes, verily. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. You see that? The Jews have been famous. God made them famous. He told that to Abraham when he called him. He told him, get out of your country. Away from your kindred, out of your father's house, come into a land, I'll show you. I'm taking you away from everything you know.
Sure,
because I want you to think the way I want you to think.
Yes.
I want you to trust in me and nothing else that you dependent on in your life.
Amen.
But all your trust in me, lean entirely on me.
Oh,
don't be worried about your father and his whatever he left you. I want you to leave it and come and trust me.
That's right.
See,
Amen.
You are giving up everything you know, everything you thought you might have had a hope in.
Yes.
Give it up. Hope and trust in me.
Yes.
Trust in me alone. Follow me, walk
yes.
with me,
yes.
and I will make your name great,
yes.
and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless him that blesses you, curse him that curses you, and your seed, all the families of the earth, shall be
yes.
blessed.
Yes.
Think about it.
Wow.
So Abraham believed God, it says Genesis 15,
yes.
6. And he left, he packed it up, and he took off
yeah.
because he obeyed the good news that God said, I'm going to bless everybody through you. Now notice this, so Paul going on with his argument, he says here, but in verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? Certainly the covenant people knew.
Mm-hmm.
For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. God says, if you turn away from my law, read Deuteronomy 28. He said, this is what's going to happen. Yes. If you walk in the blessing, blessings are going to come in and overtake you.
Yes.
And bless you. And you won't even be able to get away from it. It's going to pursue you. Where are you going? If you walk by faith and obedience. But if you don't, he said, all these other things, these curses are going to follow you and get on you.
Yes.
You see, the people want to know why they're cursed. Maybe you need to turn to the Lord.
Watch out.
Maybe you need to trust God.
Amen.
Maybe you need to walk by faith in his word.
Amen.
Maybe you need to accept the gift of his son.
Yes.
Let him fill you with his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
Open up the word so you can see it and understand it.
Yes.
And Israel, he goes from Moses, and his purpose of calling the Gentiles is to provoke the covenant people to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And he already told them, it's in their word. That's why he said, don't they know? Doesn't Israel know?
Yes.
And then look at verse number 20. He says here, but Isaiah, now he goes from Moses to Isaiah. That's almost the end of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he said, now he's in Isaiah again, all day long I have stretched forth mine hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying, that means rebellious people.
Yes.
See that? Now what I want you to see there, that quote actually comes from the book of Isaiah in the 5th chapter. The first 5 chapters of Isaiah are about Israel. Before Isaiah was called to go and carry the gospel out. In Isaiah chapter number 5, you'll find these words in verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, that's the Jews, and he hath stretched forth his hands against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this anger, he says, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. See that? Right there from the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Now what I want you to see is God's message of salvation has always been good news from the beginning of time, from the first time man needed it up until this very second. But even within the covenant people, the patriarchs and the Jews, not all who heard it believed it in the way that God stated it through the prophets, and therefore some were not saved. Some of the people, just because they were Israelites, didn't mean they got saved.
That's right.
You have Jacob and Esau. You have a whole group of people who didn't believe, that were not saved. You got Isaac and Ishmael. You got all kinds of variations you can see in the Old Testament, not to mention all the kings who got on the throne, took the authority and the power from God, but then disobeyed and worshiped idols.
Yes, they did.
They turned their back on God, including Solomon, by the time he got to the end of his life. And so basically, since the church age, which is the time in which you and I live, when God is not speaking only to the Jews, but the whole world.
The whole world.
Whosoever believes in him.
That's right.
God has chosen his church and to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
You and I are called and equipped. We're equipped to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And so not all who heard it believed before, and they're not going to believe all of us, but we need to team up with Christ by way of preaching his word under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's our part in it. Team up with Christ. Get on the right team. That's what I'm asking you to do today. And I know most of you are on the right team. Some of you may not be, but we're going to give you a chance to get on the right team before we're done here this morning. There is no higher aspiration than to team up with Christ in sharing the only life-saving message for all of mankind. This manifests God's love to the Jews and the Gentiles. So no matter who you are, God is calling you right now. First thing you need to do, square one, is if you are not saved, trust Christ this morning.
Yes. Amen.
All of what he has done is for you.
That's right. Amen.
We're not even going to ever say again, I talked to my wife about this, if I do, it'll be an accident, that the doors of the church are open, because they're always open.
Always open.
Yes.
You can come right now.
Amen.
And we admonish you to come right now. That's why we are here. We are a teaching organism. We want to teach you about the word. We want to teach you about grace. We want you to know that you don't have to do anything except trust Christ. That's the first thing we want to ask you to do, is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a promise from God.
Oh, yes, it is.
He didn't say change something about the way you do things or any of that. First thing you have to do is put your hand in the Master's hand.
Amen.
So I want to ask you today, if you're here and you are not saved, we want to give you an opportunity to come right now.
Amen.
You don't want to wait another second because you never know how things go. I would tend to think that Michael Brown, I don't know where he was with salvation, but look at what happened to him. That's what I want to say. Just to illustrate the thing that happened to him. I don't think he was expecting that. My son has a friend who had been shot 4 years ago on the 22nd of August. And I want you to pray for him. His name is Devin. He and my son were in a car, and people came, some hoodlums came, and they fired 4 or 5 pistols into the car till they were empty. Devin got hit several times. My son didn't get a scratch on him. And I knew it was God. I said, it's the only way that could happen. You should have seen the car. It looked like a Swiss cheese. And the car was riddled with bullets. My son, Jonathan, who you've seen, who's been here, didn't get hit with a single bullet. His friend got hit how many times? Do you know, Elisa? 7 times. And this was several people shooting from different angles at the car. Blew all the windows out the car. Devin got hit 7 times. He survived. You know what happened then? The police came, got him, took him to the hospital, and left my son with the bloody car on the side of the road. There was no hoopla, no fanfare, no riots, none of that. This was some hoodlums shooting black people that were sitting in a car because we don't like you and you in our neighborhood. Where was the outcry for that? I didn't see any. We were out of town, my wife and I. We went to help my brother-in-law who was having an issue. We were in Chicago when this went down. And I got news of it, and all I could do was thank God.
My Lord.
And I know it was God, because otherwise, how can that happen?
Yeah.
You know? And this is what the sad thing I want to say is, Devin, just on the anniversary, which was August 22nd, had a car wreck in his mother's car, totaled the car, his passenger went through the windshield, his head is cracked from here to here, he's in the hospital again on the anniversary of that day. Don't know what's up with that. Pray for him, please. But I just said that to say, if you're here today and you're feeling fine, the blood's running warm in your veins, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
And now is the acceptable time. I'm not trying to scare you. But these things happen, and this is the city we live in. Where was Al Sharpton when all this happened? You know, where was all these folks beating the drum and talking about injustice? Why are black people killing black people? Where were they? Never heard about it. They left him. He had to get the bullet-riddled car from the street with the blood in it and get away from there on his own. They didn't even say, let us help you or take you out of the neighborhood or nothing. Don't talk about an injustice. This was the city police. So a lot of stuff happens and we don't hear the whole story. What about the little kids sitting on their porch playing games and the drive-by goes on and they get killed? Where's the outcry then? Should we be mad about that? Should there be a riot over that? I wouldn't say have riot over anything. But the fact is, that's just as bad. That's probably as bad as any of these other things. Who's going to do something about it? Why don't we even hear about it? It's not even on the news. Where was CNN? Nowhere to be seen. Where was Channel 5? Where was Channel 4? Any of them, nowhere to be seen. So it's really ridiculous, some of the stuff we see. But I want to say to you, if you're here today, God loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
He wants you saved. He wants you to be in his church. He will fix whatever it is you're dealing with.
Yes, he will.
But he can't fix unbelief unless you give it up right now and say, I trust Christ. I believe him. I want to be saved. You have to do that. He won't force you to do it. It's your call. You make the call. If you reject him, you can be like Israel, gainsaying rebellious people, and I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to worry about it later, and you don't know if you'll have the opportunity.
Amen.
So I want to admonish you today, if you're here and you are not saved, come right now. Let us pray with you. invite Christ into your life to be your Savior, to be the best thing you ever did. I was living a reckless life myself. I remember I was on drugs. My life was whacked, say the least. I'm just going to shorten it to that. And it was not until I put my hand in Christ's hand and trust Him that things began to change.
My Lord.
You know what? I'm still a little whacked in certain areas. But I'm better than I used to be.
Amen.
And I got peace in my heart.
Amen.
And I know I'm on the right team. I have teamed up with Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to be doing that until I leave here.
Amen.
So I want to, don't let this opportunity pass you by. If you're here and you are not saved, come now. And if you're here and you want to, you are saved. I want to add this to the whole mix. If you're here and you are saved and you would just like to be a member of St. Timothy, come right now. We want to open the door for to allow you to do that. The door's already open. You're in here already. So, but in either case,
Amen.
Come on right now if you're here and you'd like to be a member of our church. We're dedicated to your Christian education.
Yes.
We will help you understand things you may not have understood in times past. We will oversee your spiritual walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And we will pray for you and help you along the way. That's what
yes.
we do here for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, and I am blessed. I, you don't know, I can't tell you how delighted I am to be here.
Amen.
To me, this is a historic church.
Amen.
The founding pastor ordained me into ministry years ago. It's a historic church. I'm just delighted to be pastor at St. Timothy. Amen. Because I know this is the nucleus of something that he probably had in his heart, and it's still here, it's still growing, and I'm expecting to see it through.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're here, come and be a part of it. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yes.
And you will be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
My Lord.
With his arms open wide, he is willing to save your soul.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
He is waiting.
He is waiting.
With his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing.
He is willing.
He's willing to save your soul today.
To save your soul.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come
right now. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there is room, and but yet there are none. Amen. We try to go into the hedges and the highways to compel people to come in, as the Lord said that his house might be full. Amen. We give the Lord praise, and we are glad to see so many of you who are willing to roll up your sleeves and team up with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be the most crucial thing going on right now in these latter days. We see a lot of things taking shape. Now, the next part, and this is just a preview, moving into chapter 11. I'm not going to take you too long here.
Amen.
But the next part of this is going to explain why you cannot eliminate Israel like a lot of people are trying to do. They're trying to say, oh, well, Israel is no more. But Israel is still there. Israel is at the focal point of all the tension in the Middle East and in the world.
Amen.
And you'll find out why in chapter 11. Because God's not done with them. The promises he made Abraham are still good. All those covenants he made were with them. They're still good.
Amen.
He goes on to explain how the church is grafted in. And Israel is the original vine, which is in chapter 5.
Yes.
Jesus said, of course, I am the true vine. And so we'll talk about all that. We'll bring that in next time around, Lord willing. Amen. So we thank you for your attention and that little teaser. Hopefully I'll get you where you will come back in and praise the Lord a little more. Amen. Any comments, thoughts, ideas on anybody's mind, even questions, if there's anything? Brother, let me just talk to Brother Douglas.
I'd like to acknowledge my big sister and my little sister, which came here to worship with us.
All right. All right, let's give them a hearty St. Timothy welcome. Amen. Amen. somebody over here had something, comment, question? Anything at all? Anything unclear that you'd like anything else said? We have just a few minutes. Anybody? Okay.
Like when you greet us from Pastor George Kudo in Market Avenue Church, he wanted me to tell you, send us love.
Amen. Amen.
That was from his heart.
Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. This is my brother and sister here.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother Jackson, beautiful wife, Cece.
Amen. 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 We thank God for them. Now, you're starting to see that network. You know, we had our other brother, Claude, was here for the initiation, and he's the musical one, and Chester is kind of the brainy one. He's the spiritual one. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. Got a good family. We're all kind of just knitted together there. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing. And we are blessed to have Brother Perry back in the house again today. Amen. 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 He had been dealing with some issues, and the Lord has brought him through it. Amen. So we're blessed to see him back.
Yes.
And thank God for him. Amen. If all minds are clear, another question, comment? Oh, okay, yeah.
He's a good former member.
All right, amen.
Yes, it's great. It's good to be here.
Amen.
Thank you for having me again. I'm coming back through. I'm actually transitioning again from Philadelphia, taking a position at the University in Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
So, as a college professor. So,
amen.
Great to be back home.
Amen.
I didn't grow up in St. Timothy. I always said this is where I did my growing because I came here as an adult. I was here for 24 years.
Yes.
And so this is my family.
Amen.
When I talk about people, I'm like more so than even my brother and sister. I talk about my brothers and sisters here.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, we welcome you and thank you for coming in with us today. Amen.
Yes.
And we pray the Lord's grace continues to bless and keep you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Any other thoughts, questions, anything at all? Just like to make sure all minds are clear. See, what happens when you come to church and you get really fed, it's like, oh, I'm kind of magnetized. You know? Amen. But that's the way it should be. That way it'll carry you to the next time you are fed again. Amen. So, amen. Let us stand and receive the benediction at this time. Amen. Lord God, we bless you and thank you, oh God, for all of your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the understanding in your word. Father, we pray you cement those words deep into our spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, let them be with us that they might go forward as we go out, that we would be vocal about the good news as we team up with your son and go forward
in
your grace. Oh God, bless us as we go down from this place. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are, Lord, our strength and our redeemer. We ask it all in the perfect and spotless name of your beautiful son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Look over those that are afflicted, oh God. Let us be the ones that carry the message of mercy as we go forth. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And the church all say it together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.